I don't know where to begin, to be honest. Welcome to chapter 101 of Memoirs of a White Guy. I know you guys have a lot of questions. Alright, I'm going to turn the music off, okay? It's a bit dramatic. I know you guys probably have a lot of questions, and that's fair enough. And I will answer them, but before we begin, I have a pre-prepared statement that I want to read to you all just to get it out and, I guess, address the elephant in the room or the non-Osha in the room. Alright, here goes. Let's just pretend like this is a press conference and you guys can ask questions at the end. Hi, my name's Luke Kidgel. Many of you know me as Luke Kidgel because that is my name. Today I sit before you with a statement of regret. Last week on the podcast, I made a call that was bigger than the Great Barrier Reef. To give you some sort of perspective of how big that call was, the Great Barrier Reef is the largest coral reef system in the world, composed of over 2,900 individual reefs hosting over 1,500 species of fish. You can see the Great Barrier Reef from space, and my call was bigger than that. So I think we can all agree it was quite a girthy call. I, Luke Kidgel, foolishly promised that on episode 100 on the Memoirs of a White Guy podcast, I would be joined by Australia's most loved television host and men's health cover model, Osher Gunsberg, formerly Andrew G of Australian Idol. This is really hard. And that is a promise that I still plan to uphold. However, through a series of unforeseen circumstances, i.e., and this is in brackets, me promising things that were not yet 100% confirmed, I regret to inform you all that sadly this week, the Memoirs of a White Guy podcast did not receive a rose, and Osher Gunsberg will not be joining me on this week's podcast. This is a sad day for podcasting and an even sad day for fans of immaculate haircuts. There is, however, a glimmer of hope in the midst of the charcoal blackness that is the colour of one of Osher's signature suits. I will not give up, and I will not rest, except for at night time, weekends, public holidays, annual leave, and whenever I can't be bothered. This marks the start of an adventure as the quest for Osh begins. In the words of Master Oogway from Kung Fu Panda, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. I mean, and that doesn't really apply to this situation at all, but it's a great quote, and it's a great film. So without further ado, I would like to announce that episode 100 of the podcast will be temporarily put on hold until this promise is fulfilled. Meaning that moving forward, the podcast will continue from episode 101 until our dreams of an Oshcast become a reality. I thank you all for your patience in this time of sorrow. This is a minor setback, just like getting... this is a minor setback, just like getting a group date card instead of a single date on The Bachelor. It just means you have to fight harder for what you want. I will now be answering any questions. I'm the only one here. Never mind. Oh, guys, I'm sorry. I am. I'm really sorry. All right? How are you supposed to know, all right, in show business that perhaps a 99.99% confirmed thing is not a sure thing, alright? It's crazy, this biz, how all this happens. See, okay, there's so many things to address here, because there's a lot of people thinking that Osh was never going to come on the podcast this week. And fair enough for thinking that. I'm known for making big calls and not delivering. Trending Trash monthly series may actually bring it back soon, but we'll see. guys, This is what happened. Okay, so yes, Osher Gunsberg was penciled in to come on the podcast this week. That's not a lie. Okay, I will read the email. All right, so let's go through some of the emails that were sent to his management right this week. Now, a few people contacted Osher directly during the week and were surprised when he didn't know what everyone was talking about with this podcast. Not surprising at all, because actually a little bit surprising, because I actually messaged Osher last week about it and he replied to me and he's like, yeah man, my management is sorting it now, hopefully we'll be able to do it soon. And I was like, sweet. And then someone else messaged Osher saying, hey man, you better not have cancelled on Luke Kidgel's podcast this week, which, by the way, overly aggressive. Alright, let's tone it back a notch, okay, because it wasn't Osher's fault. If anything, it's my fault. It's Osher's fault for being too damn successful, too damn charismatic, that he had to do a book signing instead. Alright, it's Osher's fault for being so handsome and popular. And it's my fault for making a huge call and then not delivering. Alright, here is... I shouldn't be laughing about this. This isn't a laughing matter. Because I know there's a few devastated fans of the podcast here right now. And I know. Alright. So, I'm emailing Rachel, Osher's manager. And we're kind of going back and forth saying... She's like, yep, let's do it. What time's work? And I'm like, anytime this week. And she's like, he's going to be down in Melbourne this weekend for the Melbourne Writers Festival. She's like, where are you based? And I was like, great, I'm in Melbourne. This is literally panning out better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I was like, this is unreal. It's synced up exactly. It was destiny. It was all the stars aligning at once. That's why I couldn't believe it, which is why I had to keep it a secret until last week. I just didn't think the stars would align, alright? I had this idea about probably like a couple of months ago, and I've been working on it for a while now. But the stars all seemed to all align. It was episode 99. Osher was penciled in to do it on Friday before he started all his interviews and stuff at the Melbourne Writers Festival. I was like, great, we can talk about his book, we can talk about his men's health cover, his transformation, right, how he's inspiring people around the world to be a better man, myself included. And I was like, this is going to be the best podcast of all time. And that's how I pitched it to them. My original email, all right? So I organized this to a friend of a friend of a friend who then had Osher's contact information, right? So I was like, hey Osher, my name is Luke Kidgel. I'm a stand-up comedian from Melbourne and I have a show on Fox FM once a week because, you know, you gotta like make yourself sound official. I also do a solo podcast called Memoirs of a White Guy, blah, 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 which at this time of year is always heavily focused around bachelor chat, which is all true stuff. I'd love the opportunity to speak to you for the 100th episode of my podcast. We regularly cover bachelor content as it is my favorite TV show. I'd be really keen to talk to you about the show and all other things that you're up to, like your podcast, the magazine cover, and your new book. I'd also be willing to come up to Sydney for it. That's what I said. Look at me. That's me bluffing 100%. But I would have, right? But that's me going, please be in Melbourne soon. This podcast already cost me money to do. I don't need to have airfares included. As I said, as it would arguably be the greatest episode of all time for any podcast ever. Hope to hear from you soon, Osher. Cheers, Luke. And then I waited 3 days, didn't get a reply. I thought, the dream's over. The Oshcast is no longer going to be a reality. But then, just like, what's a good metaphor for this? Just like that bit in Space Jam when you think they're going to lose and then all of a sudden they take that, the potion, but it's just, but it's just water. They take the special drink, but then it's just water and they all think they're like really good at basketball, but really they're just working as a team and everything starts aligning. Just like that scene, out of the blue, I'm like, hang on, I've got a reply here. It's not from Osh, it's from Osh's manager. I was like, perfect. Now, my people are talking to Osh's people. My people being me, because I don't have people. So we're going back and forth, and this is this is when I decided, I was like, I'm not going to tell you guys, I'm just going to spring it on you guys in episode 100, and it will be one of the greatest plot twists in podcast history, right? You guys think it's just going to be a regular 100, and then boom, out of nowhere, best podcast episode of all time. That was my plan, until she sent this email, because I was like, you know, and I've talked about this before, you never promise shit, alright? It's bitten me in the ass that many times that you don't promise things. Why would you? You don't need to promise anything. Then people have no expectations of you. But this one, I was like, it seems 99.99% sure. Let's roll the dice. Let's build a little bit of hype. And if it pays off, boom, I'm going to be the man. And it didn't pay off. Who would have thought that the 0.01% chance would pay off? Not me. Not me at all. This is the message that I got from Osh's manager during the week. So we decided that it was going to be Friday. I could do Friday anytime between 1 and 5pm works for me. Because that's when worked for Osh, right? I could do all day. I was going to open up my schedule. I would have cancelled a wedding, a funeral. I would have cancelled a lot of things to do this, alright? I was making myself free. This is numero uno priority in my week, is the Oshcast, alright? Why? Because I respect good content, alright? Why? Because I respect Osher Gunsberg, alright? So I want to do it when it suits Osh, alright? This is the email I get. And this is why I thought it was a sure thing. You guys tell me if I was being naive here, okay? This, to me, sounds like a sure thing. Excellent. Let's consider it booked in. Excellent, Luke. Let's consider it booked in. So you know what I did? I considered it booked in. it's considered booked in. I mean, was it booked in? No. Was it considered booked in? Absolutely. She said, let's consider it booked in. And I was like, boom, booked in, considered. I wrote down in my little diary, booked in, because I considered it booked in. However, I have to see what else comes up on that day, so I can perform the scheduling and everything. So she did say that. However, there was a however at the end. But man, and then 2 days before we get a, I got one. Hi Luke, I've just had the Friday schedule sent to me. Osher will be landing and going straight to book signings until 4:30, then to record a podcast for the Melbourne Writers Festival. So unfortunately, there is no time to fit this in while he's there on the Friday. This is me. I went down to like a lake near my house and I just tried to start skimming rocks all over it, but it didn't help. And then I looked in the lake and I walked into the night. Hang on, I just gotta turn the music down. It's a little bit distracting, sorry. I looked into the lake at my reflection. But it wasn't my reflection. It was just Osher's beautiful face staring back at me. And a tear started to roll down my cheek. For two reasons. One, for me, I wanted to meet Osher. Who doesn't? But mainly because you guys. I'd made a promise. And I knew right then and there that I hadn't fulfilled it. It's really hard to talk about. I don't know what to say, guys. I mean, and the response from you guys was heartbreaking to read. So it was then at the lake that I posted a status saying, in the Memoirs of a White Guy podcast Facebook group, I posted a status saying, oh no, ... tear face. And, yeah, you guys really, I don't know what to say, to be honest, because what you guys, you know, it was heartbreaking. It really was. But the response was devastating. This is just from one from Dylan. You didn't press record again, did you? So, how dare you, alright? If I was with Osher, I'd definitely remember to press record. Maybe not, actually. I could be distracted by his fringe. No interview? Question mark. What happened to Osher? That's from Harry. R.I.P. from Max Phillips. Brandon, it was all a dream. Mia, he didn't receive a rose. 5 likes. Very great comment, Mia. Brayden, please don't tell us Osher isn't going to be on. Say it isn't true, from Tom. Riley Smith, oh God, oh fuck. Brayden, I guess that's why he said 99.9%, and then the heartbreaking emoji. Clayton just said a tear face. Another tear face from Alex. Liam, just concerned. Luke Kidgel, what's going on, man? We've got a GIF sent in by Callan of an African-American man shaking his head, saying, no, it can't be. Hudson, 0.01% in 10,000. Damn. Hey, Hudson. Just wasn't my day, man. Today's a sad day, from Muzza. Hey, Muzza, change your name. Lachlan Port, no. Caleb, Osher Gunsberg has broken many hearts on this day. Hey guys, don't take it out on Osh, take it out on me. Ben, you've broken my heart. Dylan, a gif of Michael Scott from The Office crying. I think you guys get the idea, but there's only a few to go. Lewis, it was a gif of a lady screaming. Ben, is the next podcast going to be you crying in a dark room while rocking in the corner? Sorry, Mia chimed in with, while rocking in the corner. It's the 0.1% that always gets you, from Hamish. Amy, this next podcast really will be sitting alone talking about how hard it is to be white. Scarlett posted a meme. Is that the Pacific Ocean or my tears? Hoping this is just a plot twist. Plot twist? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, Osher Gunsberg! No, but that would have been awesome though, wouldn't it have been? How good would that have been? That would have been the best. The best plot twist in podcast history. Guys, Osher isn't here, and I don't know when he will be. But, as I said in my official press statement, I'm going to keep hunting for it. I've already told the manager that I will fly up to Sydney to do it. I mean, if anyone... I don't know... I'm going to do it, guys, alright? If anyone from Sydney has seen Osher in the wild, alright? Remind him of it, alright? I would say maybe no passive aggressive. Can I stress this enough? Please do not send Osher an angry message. All right, it wasn't his fault. All right, he had a book signing to do. I don't think he even knew about it. Some guy messaged him. He sent me the screenshot. He's like, "Oh, Osh man, yeah, why'd you cancel?" And Osh is like, "Oh, I'm not sure what you're talking about." And I was a little bit offended because I had spoken to Osh on Instagram and I was like, oh, he doesn't remember me. But, now he knows about it. He knows about the podcast. He's got wind of us. And that's the main thing, all right? His manager's onto it. We're trying to reschedule. Who knows when it will happen, all right? But when it does, we will do episode 100 of the podcast with Osher Gunsberg as promised. I really hope it does happen, because if we get to episode 300 and we still haven't done episode 100, it'll be devastating stuff. But guys, hang in there with me. I do appreciate your patience. If you guys have any scoops, if you see Osher in the wild, remind him about it. The only correspondence I prefer you to have with Osh over social media is nothing but positivity and encouragement for the great man that we all have become to love. I mean, we all loved him on Australian Idol before he became Osher, but you know, since his work on The Bachelor, his men's health cover and stuff, I feel like he's really come into a league of his own as an Australian TV personality and proud dad. He often talks about that in his podcast. And loving husband as well to Audrey Griffin, his wife. And guys, I've been stalking Osher. Yeah, it should be great. So if you're going to send him something on social media, like a tweet or something, make it positive. Make it a cordial invitation. Make it like a, hey, Osher, as a fan of Memoirs of a White Guy, we would love nothing more than to have you on there. You'd be a respected guest. You are... You really make him feel like a king, all right? Make him feel like the king that he is. Now, I haven't just come to this podcast, guys, with sad news. I've come in here with a plan, all right? I meant what I said in my official press statement. I am going to fix this. I will make amends for my sins, all right? I'm not going to do like a Cersei Lannister and walk down the, you know, do a walk of atonement and you guys all, I'm naked and you guys all throw vegetables at me. I'm not going to do that, all right? But I will make up for my sins regardless. I've come in with a plan of how we're going to get Osh on the podcast. And by the way, if you guys have any ideas, then I'm all ears, all right? Luke.Kijal@gmail.com. We need your help. I can't do this alone, all right? I feel like as I said in the press conference, the quest for Osh begins, all right? And quests aren't easy. That's why they're called quests, all right? Here's my rough plan. Here's what we're gonna do. All right, have a few. I mean, firstly, can we all just say that the phrase "Excellent Luke, let's consider it booked in" has been haunting me all week? But I just want to get that out of the way. I've had dreams where like people have come up to me and in the dream they've been like, "Excellent Luke, let's consider it booked in," and then the thing's been cancelled. It's been haunting me all week. It's like a ghost in my head. I just sometimes hear a little voice that goes, "Excellent Luke, let's consider it booked in," and I'm like, what the fuck was that? Go away. Alright, I just get garlic and I'm like, get out of here, vampire, right? It's been haunting me. "Excellent Luke, let's consider it booked in." "Roses are red, Osh's hair makes me grin. Excellent Luke, let's consider it booked in." Over and over in my head all week. All right, but here's my solutions. This one, okay, my first solution, it just says, never give up, all right? And that's more motivation than solution, but that is the first thing I'm going to do, is never give up. The second one, I will admit, this is a desperate measure. This is a last resort. This is like maybe in like 10, 20 episodes time if we haven't gone into Osh yet. I was thinking we could threaten Osh with a kosh. So if Osh won't come on the podcast, do we threaten to get David Kosh from Sunrise to come on to take his place as the new hero of the podcast? Is that too forward? Is that too... I mean, the last thing I'd want to do is threaten Osh in any way possible, but I guess as a last resort, we could threaten Osh with a kosh. And I have a lot of respect for David Kosh, all right? Koshy from Sunrise, he loves a joke, as you can tell by his joke books that he releases. I would say he'd be an underdog hero of the podcast, for sure, and Osh would be a strong front runner. But that, as a last resort, let me know your thoughts during the week. Do you think we should threaten Osh with a Kosh, all right? I'm sure David Kosh would come on the podcast. All right, and then we can maybe get a guest appearance from the Cash Cow. All right, it'd be great stuff, but you know, I feel like it would be really just a bit of a punch in the gut because everyone would know that we're only doing this to threaten Osh with a kosh. My other ones was to offer a fitness activity while recording the podcast with him because I know that Osh is a busy guy. Clearly, that's why. It had to be cancelled this week. Had a book signing to do, which, by the way, I found out was that one of the. It was at a. So my mum works for a chain of bookstores, and he did it at one of the bookstores that, like, she doesn't work for that one in particular, but he did a book signing at one of the book at the same chain, and Mum was like, "Oh yeah, I knew about that." What? I was like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Yeah, yeah, I got an email during the week that Osher was going to come into the Emporium store and do a book signing of his new book." She goes, "His book's selling really well." I'm like, "No shit, it's selling well. It's Osher Ginsberg, all right." But I'm like, "What do you mean you knew?" She's like, "Yeah, Friday, 4:30 p.m. And I'm like, "I told you that I was going to be doing a podcast with Osh this week, all right?" And Mum's like, "Oh yeah, you did too." Guys, it's really hard. It's really damn hard to be. Anyway, so this is my second plan, all right? Because I know Osh is a busy guy, but I know he likes fitness, right? He's on the cover of Men's Health. He does cycling every day. Hits the gym. Perhaps we could do a podcast called Squash with Osh. And me and Osh, we're just chatting about life while just playing squash. But it means you will have to put up with sounds like, "Ah! Ah! Oh, good shot, Osh." Anyway, so tell us about your book. Ah! I don't really know how to imitate a squash noise. But if it means getting Osh on the podcast, perhaps Squash with Osh could be, or maybe we go to a punk gig and we do Mosh with Osh, alright? If it rhymes, it means it's good content, alright? The end of the day, that seems like good content. So those are my, look, they'll be honest, those are the only solutions that I've come up with so far. So if you guys have any more, I'm all ears. But yeah, we'll move on now, but I do want to say apologies. I know there's a lot of sad listeners out there still. I hope you guys stick by me, and I hope you guys stick by Osh as well, because at the end of the day, we're just two Australian personalities, one more popular than the other, trying to make a living in this damn world. And one of us is doing great, and one of us is desperately trying to get the other on a podcast. So, all right, this week was huge for me, guys. Other than the initial heartbreak that was earlier in the week, I really had to pick myself up after that. And I went and did, I went and did two cool things. I went to a magic show on Friday night, which was awesome. It was like 60 seats, and it was like intimate magic. And I don't know if I've really talked about it that much. I think I have earlier on in the podcast, but man, oh boy. I love me some magic. It was, you know I like it because I'm always just like, I'm an asshole when I watch magic. I can't enjoy it. Emily got really frustrated with me because she's like, "Can you just enjoy it?" And I was like, "No, I have to know how they do the trick. I have to work it out. I have to Google it when I get home. I have to know." She's like, "Can't you just appreciate it for what it is?" I was like, no, I can't. All right. Why? Because I wish I was a magician. I just don't have the talent, so I do dick jokes instead. All right, that's my dream, is to be a Las Vegas magician. All right, to be like David Blaine, or like David Copperfield. I just walk through the Great Wall of China. I mean, that was one of his easier tricks. I mean, but you know, man. Sorry, I did turn my laptop off. Alright, what was this about? Yeah, magic. So this guy's trick, right? He did this one trick. If you guys can tell me, I'll explain the trick to you. If you guys can tell me how he did the trick, then that would be great. It was like some throughout the night, I could definitely like be like, "Oh yeah, I have theories of like how he could have done it." And you know, like, I don't know if it'd be the best way to do the trick, but I was like, I had a few theories. There was one that I can't work out what he did. Alright, he had his fingers locked together, so taped together, so his thumb, his index finger, and his pointer. So like his root finger, his pointer finger, and his thumb, those three fingers. Do it like now, if you're on the thing, put your root finger up, your pointer, and then your thumb. Put your root finger and your pointer together like a finger gun, and then put your thumb to the tip of those fingers, right? And you'll make like a little hole in between your hand. He got the an audience member a meter away from me. I cannot stress this enough. I watched the whole thing happen. I was watching it really closely because, again, I was just waiting for him to fuck up because I'm an asshole. So He tapes it around with like masking tape. Tapes his all three fingers together, and he's got a little loop. And then he gets audience members to try and pull his fingers apart. And you know, full grown guys pulling at his fingers, going, "Yeah, no, they're definitely taped together, right?" And then he gets scissors, which now I know what you're thinking straight away. They're dodgy scissors. That's what I thought, and that could have been the case. He gets scissors with a little loop and goes bang, and interlocks scissors somehow in his thing, but he hasn't pulled apart his fingers. He slipped scissors in the ring, and then he can't get the scissors out, right? It's like, how do you get the scissors in there? So I was like, great, they're dodgy scissors, easy trick. This is what he does next. He grabs someone's watch out of the audience, but not a watch that unhinges, one of those watches that is a complete loop, and you can only tighten it and loosen it to get it on your wrist. And then he put that, it was this lady's watch, he put that in between. And look, I don't think the lady was a plant, because he was doing this all night to people. Otherwise, he would have had to have legitimately 15 plants every single show in his audience to give him props and shit that are fake. Because I'm like, and that's, you wouldn't do that. Like, that's a hectic waste of money. And maybe it would, I don't know. 15 plants in an audience of like 60, that's too much, right? I can't work out how he did this trick. He just kept on putting stuff in this little loop. I mean, there's other card tricks and shit he did where I was like, yeah, you know, I used to watch all those like magic debunking shows on YouTube and Netflix and stuff. So I know a lot about how most tricks are done. But this one, I'm like, dude, you've just blown my mind. Because first of all, I was thinking fake things that just have a little link and they go on. But I'm like, the only thing I can think of is that his fingers weren't really taped together. But they seemed like they were taped together, and the guy next to me tried to tug them open. Unreal. Can't believe it. But yeah, the best trick he did the whole night was, out of the 60 people, throughout the show, he kind of kept asking people their names. So he'd be like, if he was getting a trick, he'd be like, you know, Judy, can you please pick a card? All right, what's your husband's name? Richard. Richard, welcome to the show. Judy and Richard, I want you to remember that card. And then he'd go over there and be like, Robbie, what's your name? Or like, you know, and then by the end of the show, he'd learn about 15 audience members' names, but then he retained their names throughout the show. Like 50 minutes later, he would go back across the other side of the room and be like, now behind Belinda there. And I'm like, how the fuck are you remembering everyone's name? That's the most impressive trick of all. The most impressive trick on the night was that he remembered 15 people's, 15 strangers' names. Sometimes I'll do crowd work at a show and be like, hey, what's your name? I'll be like, James. I'll be like, oh, nice to meet you, James. Later on the show, I'll be like, sorry, mate, I've forgotten your name. He's like, it's James. And I'm like, no worries, I won't forget that now. Then the end of the show, he comes up to meet me. I'm like, oh, man, thanks for being such a great sport. Sorry, what was your name? James. And that was one person. He remembered 15. He'd be like, now, Robbie, Belinda, Judy, Richard, Cameron, yep. But okay, Stacy and Peter. Peter, do you want to come up to the front thing? I'm like, dude, how is he doing this? Everyone else was losing all their shit at the magic. Everyone's like, oh my God, look how he made that card reappear. I'm like, are you even seeing this? This guy has a photographic memory of all these people's names. This is incredible. And the guy's name was Luke. I was like, this could be me, a magician. Alright, I could be a 40-year-old balding man who has a residency at a hotel who does a magic show to 60 people every Friday. That's the dream. But no, it was awesome. It was definitely cool. It was something different because it's something I've always been fascinated by, is like magic and stuff. So yeah, that was great fun. And then on Saturday, I went to this castle. If you follow my Instagram stories during the week, on the weekend, whoa, you would have been fully aware that I had a great time. I don't even know how to describe this to you. I laughed the hardest I've ever laughed before. And I've laughed to the point before where you just run out of laughter. You're all done. Your body's like, oh, we're empty. That's all the laughs we got in us. And then you just have a migraine, your heart's palpitating, you're on the floor, and your face is purple. And you're like, I can't laugh anymore. I'm out. I'm gonna die. If I keep laughing, I'll black out, right? I've got to that point before. on Saturday, I got to that point further, I think. I almost passed out. But it's one of those things where you'd be like, well, you probably think, well, what's so funny, Luke? It's so hard to describe. It's such a you had to be there moment. I will do my best to describe it to you all, but I know for a fact you guys will be like, yeah, this doesn't sound that funny. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. Okay, put it this way. One time when... oh, where was it? It was Lewis and I were... I've already told this story in the podcast. We were on the plane back from Newcastle like a year and a bit ago. It was when I did my first ever show in Newcastle. And the flight attendants, we were laughing about Weet-Bix. We were putting Weet-Bix references into Cursor songs. The rapper... the rapper Cursor, we were putting in Weet-Bix lyrics. Like, we'll be like, fuck's happening. Yeah, it's beat a minute. Got a bowl of... oh, wait. Okay, yeah. So it'll be like, fuck's happening. Yeah, got some Weet-Bix. Got a bowl. Put some milk in it. Or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever Cursor song you know, or whatever. We were putting it in... well, look, I'm not saying it's funny, but it was at the time, right? And then the flight attendants on the Jetstar flight came over to us, and they're like... because they were crying. We had tears in our eyes. They thought we were upset. And we were like, she was like, oh, sorry, are you guys okay? And I couldn't even explain to her why we were crying because I was laughing too hard. But I knew I was laughing, but she just would have seen me going, because I'd run out of laughter by that time. I was just going, just breathing heavily. And every time I'd look at Lewis, we would both just start howling with laughter again. Until the flight attendant just went, okay, and just walked away, right? That was the last time I almost blacked out laughing, right? It doesn't happen much, but it's like this. Okay, what happened on the weekend? I went to this theater play. It was in this place called Carl Castle, and there was this thing in the Jester Theater, right? And I don't really know how to describe it. I don't really know what pantomime is, but it seemed like there was this old pantomime. Maybe it's not that. Like this old style kids play that three actors were acting out, but there was really no talking. There was just sounds. And there was about 12 people in a theater that seated about over 150, right? And we were watching these three adults perform a kids show to just adults. There was two kids in the crowd at the front. There was two kids. The rest were adults and it was a kids show. And we were all kind of sitting there waiting for the show to start. And the whole day up to this point, I didn't want to be there, right? Emily dragged me along to this thing. And I was like, yeah, whatever. All right, let's go to a castle. It's probably not going to be my thing. But hey, you got to do stuff that's different in life, all right? Or you'll never black out laughing, all right, in a castle, which is what I did. And I'm glad I went because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So we were sitting there in this play and... I'm waiting for jousting to start. Jousting starts at 2 p.m. It's about 1:30, and I'm like, yep, all right, we've got half an hour to kill before jousting. As long as we don't miss people running at each other with lances, I'm fine to be here. So I'm sitting there in this theater. There's 12 other people. It's a huge theater. Oh, not really huge. It seats about 150 people. There's fuck all people there. The show starts. This lady walks out with a mask on, with a long-ass Pinocchio nose, and she starts going, me, 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 me. Me. And already I'm losing my shit. I'm fucking dying, man. And Emily's hitting me. She's like, shut up, be polite, you're being rude. And I'm like, dude, if you expect me to sit through this shit with a straight face, you don't know me, man. We've been going out for 5 years and you don't know me. Alright? And, you know, it's the only way to describe it is like those ABC kids shows where the main character's like, beep, 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 because when they don't talk, so it's for kids, so they just show emotions through sound. So if something's sad, they'll be like, meep, meep, meep. But if something happy, they'll be like, beep, 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 beep. So she's teaching us what to do, right? It's really hard if you're listening to this and not watching the YouTube version of the podcast, but I'll try and describe it as best as I can. She's using arm actions and she's trying to teach us how to interact with the play. So this is like the prelogue to the play. So the play hasn't even started, but she's teaching us how to react. She's going, beep, 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 and she's like walking with her arms, and she's like, "Rrr." So she's being the bad guy, the villain of the play, and then she's trying to say, without saying words, when the bad guy comes out, you need to boo. But this is what she said. Beep, 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 boo, boo. And she's gesturing us. When she goes, she's like gesturing us to be like, you guys need a boo. So me, being the only person there who was just didn't give a fuck, I was like, boo! And she's like, wee, because I did it. And then she gestures to everyone else to go, boo! And everyone does it or whatever. And then she starts miming when the pretty girl comes out. So she goes, ah. And she's like touching fake hair, saying like, when the pretty girl comes out, you guys need to be like, ah. So we did that. She goes, now, and then again, she's not saying words the entire time. It's just her gestures and movements are saying like, me, me, me. Now you guys need to do it. And then we all go, ah. And then, right. Okay, so she teaches us five moves, five noises. Sorry, the noises are when the villain comes out, you go boo. When the pretty lady comes out, you go ah. When the villain steals something, you go pfft. And then when something else happens, I forget, I didn't even understand this one. When something else happens, you go ma. Or no, it was like meh. Right, so it was like boo, ah, pfft, and meh. And this play had this vague storyline where someone was selling flowers. The evil man stole the flowers. The lady was sad. So then she went and stole the flowers back of the evil man. And this whole time, they're getting 12 people in a room, fully grown adults, going, they should be like, me, me, me. And there's no words, by the way, throughout this whole play. They're sometimes talking in like French. They start talking in French for a bit. They're like, me, boo. And every time, I'll post my Instagram story in the Facebook group if you didn't see it already of what I'm describing right during the week. But holy shit, I fucking cried. I couldn't even film it for Instagram, most of it. This went for like 20 minutes, and I probably uploaded 4 Instagram stories. 20 minutes, my head is in my, like, jumper, just in tears in my eyes. Then one of the ladies, at one point in the play, one of the characters comes out into the play, and she gives this guy an invisible flower, and I fucking lost my shit. She was a meter away from me, and I started howling with laughter, and then, but I was crying, like, I had tears all down my eyes were red, I was bawling, my face was drenched in my own tears. And she kind of walked up to me, and the actor kind of stopped the play, looked at me, and I pretended to sneeze, because I pretended to have allergies, because I was crying at her fucking play. I was crying at what she does for a job, so I had to be like, oh man, hay fever, in the middle of winter. Oh, unlikely, but it's happening. Holy shit. Me, 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 me. Boo. Meh. Whenever she was like, meh, I just couldn't help myself. And I was just screaming like, meh. And everyone else around me started fucking pissing themselves as well. It was great. I turned half the audience into just, oh man. And there was one point, and I did get this on my Instagram story, so I'll post it in the group. There was one point where the girl was carrying invisible flowers. She's carrying a tub of invisible flowers. She's squatting around the stage, miming, carrying flowers, like she's gonna fucking shit herself because they're so heavy. And I just couldn't control it. Emily kept leaning over. She's like, you need to go. If you're going to be, you need to go, all right? You can't be in here anymore. I was like, I know I can't, but I literally can't get up. I have a stitch, all right? I'm about to pass out because I've been laughing for fucking 15 minutes straight. I can't move. I sat there. The play finished. Everyone started filing out, and I just sat there, like, hyperventilating, going like, oh, my God. Like, thank fuck it's over because I was about to die because I couldn't leave. But at the same time, though, I knew I had to, because if I had to keep watching this, I was gonna pass out. It was one of those things where you initially get the giggles, and then you start laughing hysterically, and then you start doing that silent laughing where you're not even laughing, you're just crying, but you're amused, but you're just crying. And then after crying, the stage of laughter, it just gets to like, it gets to like hitting your knees and like punching yourself, like self-harm laughing. And then it gets to the point where you're just sitting there swaying back and forth going and hyperventilating. And then at the end, I was so tired. It was like when people have a seizure, but they're still having the seizure, but they just get so tired, they just lay there. I was just laying there, trying not to convulse in laughter. Guys, it was unbelievable. And then I did a murder mystery that night, and that was also amazing. I laughed quite hard at that. I couldn't take it seriously. There was 100 people in a castle taking a murder mystery, like a role-playing murder mystery night, seriously. And I tried to get into it. I promise you guys, I wasn't just like, fuck this, this is lame. I really tried. I reckon I gave it half an hour. I gave it half an hour of just like going, man, let's see what this is all about. I'm open to new things. This could be great. I'm like, this could be my new thing. Maybe my new thing could be murder mystery nights. I love that. All right, I love the idea of that. So I watched this role play at the start. There's 6 actors. There's 6 culprits of who did it, right? And I'm like, okay, let's really try and nut this bad boy out as to who did the murder. We get given a little booklet, and these were the suspects, right? There was King Andrew of Kryle, but I called him King Timberlands and Jeans because the guy clearly forgot his medieval boots and was wearing Timberlands and Jeans under his chainmail. King Piers of Wilberdale, I was calling him Old Mate Beardy, because it was a guy who had to dye his beard grey to become King Piers, and that amused me, that this guy dyes his hair grey every Saturday night for a role-playing job he has. And King Peyton of Hollum, he was Old Mate Surfer Dude because he had a gnarly haircut. There was Queen Scarlet of Kyrle. She was the only one I actually didn't nickname because for some reason I just remembered her. There was Ivo the Royal Prophet. What was I calling him? Oh, he was, I forget what I was calling him. I don't know. And then there was Princess Helena of Hollum, and I was just calling her Gollum because it rhymes with Hollum. And there was also a guy who looked like Loki from the Avengers, who was part of the role-playing thing. And then, yeah, for the next 3 hours, I walked around with 100 strangers trying to solve a murder that didn't happen. And it was truly incredible. So it wasn't like a script. It was a scripted like murder mystery thing. But like it took place in different rooms throughout this huge castle. Like you'd have to walk 2 minutes between rooms, and then you could interview the suspects about it, right? And Emily, my girlfriend, she was taking it so seriously, like. So they told us, you're like, if you're going to question the people, you have to be polite and use their official titles. And that just means, don't be fucking rude. These people are being paid to be here, and they're not really Princess Helena, right? This is her job. She's being nice to you. She's indulging your nerdy fantasy. Be polite, right? So Emily walks in, and I don't even know where to start. I don't know what the fuck was going on the whole time. I was so confused from start to finish. I knew there'd been a murder. And I didn't know, it was someone's daughter. It was like King Timberlands' daughter had been murdered. And old Greybeard was pissed off. And then bloody Old Mate Surfer Dude was yapping too much during the roleplay at the start. I didn't know what the fuck was happening. Straight away, Emily walks into a room with bloody Princess Gollum and goes, "Excuse me, my lady, were you in the lavender garden at 4:30 p.m.? If so, and why?" And I lost it. I'm sorry. Clearly, I don't know you at all, because I didn't realize my girlfriend of 5 years was going to be the first people out of 100 to ask a question to a stranger and refer to her as my lady. And not only that, I didn't even know how she knew to ask about the lavender garden. This is the first time I'd heard about a lavender garden. I was so confused, and then I just started making up my own shit. Like, I'm just walking around, and we got told that there were 6 suspects, But I was like, nah, man, you guys are all guilty. Everyone doing this, it could have been me, right? I started to treat everyone as suspicious. I just walk up to people and be like, mate, wearing shorts at night, that's pretty suspicious. I'm watching you. And I'll be honest, I was a little bit drunk. But it was great fun. I was just walking up to strangers going like, see that guy over there? Yeah, didn't bring a coat tonight. Fairly cold. What a psychopath. Could have done the murder. And I actually got strangers going like, geez, he's raising good points. Like, and then I kept on asking the people. So you're allowed to ask them anything, right? They go, you're allowed to ask Ivo the Prophet, you know, bloody old mate surfer dude, King Pierce, what's his name, beardy bloke. You're allowed to ask them anything. And all these people are going like, who administered the poison? And I'm just like, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? I was asking dudes about the Venga Boys. I was just like, hey, excuse me, I'm Ivo the Prophet. Do you like the Venga Boys? And then it was pissing off everyone else. Because all these people were just taking it so seriously. And I was the arsehole who was like going, boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room. And I was trying to convince all these people that it could have been one of the Venga Boys. Because they administered four poisons, right? And I was like, dude, and it was in... It happened in her room, and I was like, mate, it was the Venga Boys. That's what the song was about. Each boom stands for one poison. Boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room. I was like, boom, they poisoned her in the room. It was the fucking Venga Boys. Case closed. And at the start, right, so I was just ruining it the whole way through because it was fun and I was bored. But at the start, I got the little handbook, and I was like, oh, that guy did it. I just pointed to King Peyton, which was old mate surfer dude. I was like, look at that dude. Look at his haircut. What's he hiding under that hair? Alright, I said straight away from something, like, that guy did it. And Emily and, like, the people I was with were like, how can you just say that? Like, the whole point is you got to work it out. I'm like, no, he did it. I'm like, I bet you anything, this guy did it. At the end, you guys are all going to look stupid. And I'll be honest, guys, I was bluffing my heart out. I didn't know who the fuck it was going to be. I didn't care. I just picked a guy and was like, yeah, this guy, he did it. 1 in 6, you know? The chance, if I get it right, this is going to be incredible. Guys, 3.5 hours later, people had written notes, done questioning, alright? Looked at evidence. Guess who it is? Bloody King Peyton, old mate surfer dude, did it. Who was right all along? Literally told you all. I'm like, I told you. And then you had to come up with evidence, and I was like, yeah, look at his haircut. He's sketch. He's been sketched from the minute I saw him. It was that dude. Nobody listened to me, alright? So I've realised that I'm a murder mystery king. If you guys ever want me to pick a murder mystery, I should be a detective in real life. I'll just be walking down the street. They'll give me like 6 suspects and I'll be like, that dude, look at his beard. It looks weird as fuck. And then, yeah, they can do all their investigating, like police officers and the FBI. But at the end of the day, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, it was that dude. Luke was right. Of course I was right. He's fucking sketch. All right? So, yeah, I nailed the murder mystery. And it was great. I watched Jousting. It was awesome. I felt like it was super cool doing medieval shit. And, yeah, I'll be honest. It was a great time. I've been talking about this for ages now. But, yeah, it was sick, man. I would recommend you guys hit up a castle. We slept at the castle as well. Do you know how cool that was? Sleeping in a castle? Dude, it was sick. It was like a castle with a heater and a shower. It was great. What else have I got to talk about? I need to do a few more updates. This podcast has been going for a while, but we've had so much to talk about with the Osha stuff. I wanted to do a quick dog farts update. Last week, if you listened to the podcast last week, you already know this, but for those who may be tuning in just for the Osh goss, last week, I brought up the fact that my girlfriend Emily could not fathom the idea of a dog farting in its own food and then eating the food straight after. Like, cupcaking its meal with a fart and then eating it straight away because the dog likes the taste of its own fart. She could not fathom that any dog in the entire world would do this. And I thought that was very close-minded. And lots of people during the week agreed with me. They're like, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that even 10% of dogs would do that, all right? I'm saying there is at least one dog out there who before every meal goes and then eats the meal. It's not that wild of a hypothetical, right? So, but she wouldn't let it go. She's like, nah, there's no way. It's not a thing. I can't. She's like, there's no way. She's like, I can't believe that. There's no way. So I was like, guys, can you help me out during the week? Can you send me some evidence of a dog's farting in their own food? And I did get two pieces of evidence. Not as conclusive as I would have liked. Jack sent to me on Snapchat, hey man, my dog doesn't eat its own farts, but he does suck his own dick. Don't know if that helps. Hey, it doesn't help, Jack. It doesn't help at all. But it does prove my point that there's some dogs out there that are disgusting. All right? That's so impressive. I didn't realize a dog could suck its own dick. I thought this, their spine would stop them. That's... You learn something every day. And then I also got a video of a dog sniffing its own fart, but still no conclusive proof that there's a dog that eats its own farts. So, yeah, if you guys keep searching, if you have a friend's dog that you've seen eat its own fart, let me know. I'd love to hear from you and send me the evidence. I showed both of those pieces of evidence to Emily, and she decided that they were not conclusive enough, and her point still stands, well, her opinion still stands, that there is no dog that would eat its own fart. So if you guys could help me that out with that during the week, that'd be great. All right, up next, we have a quick question. Lots of people have been sending me Osh-related content because, again, lots of people, you know, as promised, I said Osh would be coming on the podcast. We have an email from someone. They were trying to stump me. This person was trying to be like, hey, how are you going to respond to this, all right? It was from, maybe I'll keep her anonymous, just, oh, but she didn't say to. This is from Indica. I think her name's Indica. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. I don't want to say Indica because then I feel like that's wrong and insensitive. So I'm going to keep going with Indica. She said, Osh's daughter punched my friend and broke her nose in a water polo game. How would you respond? What are you trying to do, Indica? Turn me against Osh? Is that really what you thought this question would do? Oh, Osh's daughter punched my friend. Explain that. Good on you, Osh's daughter. All right? If I got punched in the face by Osh's daughter, that'd be one of the best days of my life. I'd be like, does this mean we're family now? Does this mean... Does this mean I'm one of you? Boom, you got Osh's DNA up your nose. Jealous. Alright? Man, if Osha punched me in the face, that would be the best day of my life. What do you mean? Oh, Osha's daughter punched my friend and she broke her nose in a water polo game. How would you respond? I would say, what did you expect for playing water polo? It's a violent sport. You get kicked underwater. There's arms thrown everywhere over the water. There's splashes. If you don't expect to get punched in the face in water polo, don't play water polo. All right? That's why I don't play water polo, because I respect my nose. All right? If I had no respect for my nose, I'd be probably an Olympic water polo player by now. But I have too much respect for my nostrils, all right, and my sinus. My sinuses? Sinus? I don't know. Anyway... if you thought that was going to stump me, Indica, all right, you haven't. Much respect to Osh's daughter. Keep throwing down in water polo. And that's a good attitude for life. Don't let anyone stand in your way. And don't go sooking about it afterwards. Honestly, if you get punched in the nose playing water polo and have a cry about it and resent the person's dad for it, you're foolish. Quit water polo. Go to equestrian, all right? I mean, then you could break your back by falling off a horse, but again, I'm just saying, like, don't... If you're trying to guilt me into thinking Osh's daughter is mean, you've come to the wrong person, all right? I got much respect for that play, all right? Man, that's like the only reason why you play water polo is just punch people in the nose. Fucking the ball through the goal, all right? Respect. Keep doing you, Osh's daughter. I'm sure Osh will be proud too. She'd be like, that's my girl. Alright, no mercy. I think that's the end of the podcast, guys. We'll leave it there. Because it's always been going for an hour. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. The quest for Osh continues. Hope you guys are kind of cooling down now from the instant, obviously, anger that you may have felt. I really appreciate you tuning into the podcast. Tell your friends. Let's start building this podcast back. I want to make this podcast one of the biggest podcasts in Australia. I guess for a while, I've just been, I don't know, like lots of radio and stuff, and then obviously the podcast never stopped. But man, this new quest for Osha has inspired me. All right, I feel like maybe we need to make the podcast the biggest podcast in Australia. So Osha just can't deny. He just has to come on, or it'd be bad for his brand. But yeah, this is going to be unreal. I'm excited. The quest for Osha has now begun, and next week, episode 102, I'll keep you guys updated. I'm going to keep working on it. Send nothing but positive Osh. All right, this is how I want you guys to think about it. Nothing but positive Osh correspondence on social media and in person if you see him. All right? Because I feel like he's a guest on our podcast. Treat him like a guest in your own home. All right? Treat him... There should never be any anger. Osh didn't cancel, alright? He didn't even know that he was going to do the podcast. It just didn't work. It was a scheduling error with his management, right? And with me. Let's invite him on the podcast. Let's be polite. Let's make him feel welcome. Let's make him feel at home on this podcast. So when he comes in, finally, he can put his feet up, open up, and we get to know the real Osh, all right? So let's give him a warm welcome. If you're going to reach out to him on social media this week on behalf of the podcast, just remember you are representing the podcast, and there is a lot of people out there counting on you to be respectful, polite, and, invite him in with open arms. So if you're going to contact Osh, be positive. I'll probably tweet him a couple of times during the week. Feel free to jump in there. Nothing but positivity for Osh, alright? Hashtag positivity for Osh. Guys, let's do it. The Osh quest begins. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure you bloody tell a friend about the podcast. Leave a bloody like you can't like a podcast, but leave a rating on iTunes. That helps. And I'll see you guys next week. Also, before I leave, I forgot to say about this. Lewis and I are doing that trial show that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago this Thursday. So if you listen to this podcast and you're from Melbourne, before this Thursday the 6th, it's currently the 4th of September, so if you're listening before Thursday the 6th, come to the Exford Hotel, 7:30 p.m. The tickets are on my website, or just message me, I'll send you the link. I'd love to see you there. We're doing half an hour of new material each. It'll be half an hour that will ideally be in my show next year. Although Lewis and I do this trial show thing every year, and last year I think maybe 2 minutes of the half an hour I did ended up making the show, because it wasn't my best, but it was a lot of fun. So it's pretty much just us being loose, trying to work out new ideas, and hopefully you guys find it funny. So yeah, if you want to come to that from Melbourne to our trial show, it's always funny as fuck, and we'll be meeting everyone and hanging out with everyone afterwards. So yeah, it's on Russell Street in the CBD. It's over 18 because it's at a pub. And yeah, hope to see you guys there. Thank you very much for listening. See ya.